It's the Freedom Talk Show with Veronica.
So instead of me continuously, and this is another thing, sis, Veronica, about this forgiveness of a thing, sometimes we keep on putting ourselves in a position where we have to keep on forgiving people. It is known as abuse. It is known as abuse. I'm going to say it again. Your children can be abusive to you. Your staff can be abusive. Your spiritual leaders can be abusive. Your spouse can be abusive. Your friends can be abusive. Mm-hmm. So for me, amongst my friends, at least those who are close to me, there's a set of people who we never fight. Mm-hmm. We never fight. Even if we do fight, we fight with respect. Mm-hmm. So point is, if there are people that are there like that, then I find I'm constantly being put in this position because I've known her since primary school. Our parents are best friends. I'm sorry, I'm not going to be held in bondage to a relationship that is not good for me. Because I think that's another thing as well. You know, a lot of people are putting themselves in abusive situations where they are constantly having to seek God so that they can forgive this person. Or worse, they are packing it inside and putting it away. Because as Africans, there's an area of let's not talk about it.
Yes.
Pretend it didn't happen.
Yes.
And
yes.
This taking it up with God thing is so critical, because God will never tell you to stop talking about it. God will never tell you that it's okay, you said it, what you have said is enough. And let me tell you something. The reason us girls get ourselves into trouble, when something hurts us, if we sit down and talk to one of our friends about it and we talk and we talk and we talk, if it's paining us, the next person that talks to you, we still bring it up again. That's why it's better for you to hash it out with God first. It's difficult because it requires you re-evaluating the whole reason that you were born. Mm-hmm. And that leads to Ephesians 1 verse 4, which talks about predestination. Mm-hmm. You were chosen before the world was created, and God predestined. That means that he had already planned the Google Maps of it. Anytime you took a detour, he will bring you back on track. But you see, a detour can be unforgiveness. Do you get what I'm saying? And that can put such delay and all that, because if you don't learn forgiveness now, as God prospers you, you are not going to learn forgiveness then, you know, like later on in the future. So if I know that, God has a plan for my life, and part of that plan needs to be having a forgiving spirit, there's certain things as well that you put in place so that forgiveness can be a lot more structured, so to speak, meaning that boundaries.
Mm.
It's okay to tell someone, you know what, I'm not comfortable talking about that right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to.
A lot of Africans take offense when you say, this is personal and I don't want to discuss it. Well, I'll speak, you know, and people take offense in that, oh, you don't want to open up, you don't want to share. So how do you approach that situation? Like,
I'm a very open person, so there's very little that I don't want to share. But if I decide that I want to not tell you something, that is my business. Do you get it? You don't have to like
it. Yeah.
Because you and share something. Yeah, have you ever shared something with somebody and when you left, you're just like, wow, I shouldn't have said that.
Mm-hmm. It sticks with you for days.
It sticks with you for days because you know that that gist is going far. You know that they're going far. So for me, I'd rather you be upset now and my secret and my mental health be intact, because I now tell you. And then God knows what you do. Even if you don't do anything, but every time you see me, you judge me. Or there's certain statements you make, or you are looking at me in a kind of way. You know, all these things, you know, are things that we can put in place to also facilitate this forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? I really, really, really do believe that. But I think that's my expectation on anybody has thoroughly been reduced. You know, and I think that I'm coming with my worst foot forward. I think that, you know, God tells us to wear the armor of God.
Mm-hmm.
In Ephesians 6 verses, I think 10 to 16 mm-hmm. or so. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's about wearing good footwear in the word of God. Shuddle, I think he said, shudder your footwear, shuddle your sandals or something.
Mm-hmm.
And when I investigated what those were sandals that the Roman soldiers used to wear. Mm-hmm. And it was cool because it was fashionable
mm-hmm.
for when they were. And it was also good for any terrain. Mm-hmm. And I believe that with the armor of God, God wants you to be prepared for the nature of man. Mm-hmm. And what the Holy Spirit does, as you start to hang out with him, he will even reveal certain things to you about this person before you even interact with them. So by the time that they've come with their whatever that could have led to offense, you can choose not to have an offense.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, a choice to be offended. And you know what God says in this Bible, that offense must come.
Mm-hmm.
He never said that, oh, you're going to become a Christian and no one's going to hurt your feelings anymore. In fact, they might even hurt it more because you're more sensitive in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get? You might even feel it more. But I think that in that relationship with Christ, I have learned to start to manage my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get? Before I get to that position where I'm like about to lose my mind and because I have a temper, you know, the Holy Spirit's already working with me on what the solution is.
Mm-hmm.
Because the anger comes from now you've messed up the expected end. The solution gets you back on track. And when you are able to keep calm, you are basically, in essence, self-control, forgiveness, moving on quickly. You are giving the Holy Spirit permission to do his work quickly.
Mm-hmm.
When you allow that emotion to take hold of you and you go off on that tangent, even if you come back around to apologize, number one, you have wasted time.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it's a distraction from your ultimate purpose, which is to be like Christ in all things and at all times. Mm-hmm. Number four, you are saying in that anger, you are saying God can't fix it for me. God can't turn it around on my behalf, so I'm going to handle it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, it is draining, sis.
Yeah.
It is draining to mm-hmm. walk around not forgiving people.
Mm-hmm.
It's draining to walk around having an issue with people. In fact, as I'm even talking to you, the Holy Spirit is reminding me about a few people that I'm just kind of like...
Does everyone deserve forgiveness? Everyone that hurts us, do they all deserve forgiveness?
Everybody deserves forgiveness, because if you look at the story of creation right down to where we are now, it is one forgiveness after the other. That is all God has done, is forgive mm-hmm. us and try and get us back to our expected end. You see, let me tell you why everybody deserves forgiveness. Because if you are born because of the nature of this world into a sinful nature, and you are predestined by God, you still have that free will. Do you understand? It is the Holy Spirit taking cleanse of your heart that changes your desire. So if I have an addiction to drinking, for example, I might still be serving God and drinking for a while. It is when God places that desire in me to eventually stop doing that, along with my willingness to surrender my will to God, that's when that change will come. But it won't be the fake one. Will be, I'm stopping because I want to honor God. I love God. God is my favorite. Or it would just be like, you know what? I love God. Therefore, I need to take care of my body. Okay, God, I'm going to only drink in the evenings now instead of in the morning and in the afternoon. Is it not a gradual thing?
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I'm trying. Forgiveness, as you continue to pray in the spirit, as you continue to pray in your understanding, and as you continue to worship God and listen to other people's stories and read the Bible, because everybody's life is in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Every incident in your life, there's something similar that you can, you know, cross-check it with. So does everybody, you see, and the point I'm trying to make is when God created earth. He created us filled with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, people think about Adam and Eve and they think that they were in the garden for 5 days. No, they were there for years.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
Just a summary. Getting, they fellowshiped with God. The fruit they ate was information for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why God wants them to have that information about death.
Mm-hmm.
Do you kind of understand? Because yeah. He didn't want them to think about that, but he mm-hmm. had to leave the and he had to give them the free will
mm-hmm.
to decide upon all the great things. Their will still made them want to try, you know, this thing. And what you have to understand is God had already been disappointed by Lucifer, who broke his heart so much in mm-hmm. heaven.
Mm-hmm.
He burst into Lucifer, and that's why nobody has everything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have everything, you will think you're God. You get it? And that's what.
Yeah.
So he forgave that one. He forgave the angels that decided to repent, because some followed Lucifer, they still came back. One followed him. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
He first came to Lucifer that had messed things up in heaven, now came to try the people who had made his image, who he took pleasure in creating and building, which is what God wants us to do now.
Mm-hmm.
And they now invaded, you know, Lucifer encouraged them to eat the apple. And in eating that apple, the Holy Spirit ultimately had to leave. Do you understand? So yeah. When they left and went into the wilderness, it was from that moment on, it was a battle for whose soul, who was going to control your soul.
Mm.
Is it the enemy or is it God? So when you see somebody doing the wrong thing, you have to remember who controls them.
Mm.
It is not necessarily God. And even if it's God, controls them, they have not developed that fruit. Mm-hmm. You have to keep on looking at it from God's perspective, otherwise mm-hmm. you cannot forgive.
Mm, sure.
You have to understand that mm-hmm. as much as that person was born and they have a choice, they might not have been able to. You don't know the history, you don't know whether their parents, you know, for me, my dad was there, my mom died early, but they were there, so it's mm-hmm. easy for me to accept God's love. Some people grew up with such traumatic and abusive things, and everybody is operating from a place of their trauma in their own life.
Yeah.
So apart from, we don't know which spirit is controlling you,
mm-hmm.
apart from the fact that you might have given your life to Christ and you might be having your citizenship in heaven, but you might decide not to develop your fruits. So that's why both in the body of Christ and out,
mm-hmm.
there's two factors. If you are not even serving God at all, I have a different expectation of you. And if you are serving God, I still don't have much expectation, because you might have only gotten citizenship and that might be enough for you. You might not have chosen to develop your fruits.
Yeah.
So
faith with that intimacy possible?
What'd you say?
Is faith without intimacy possible? Faith in...
Well, you see, the truth of the matter is, it is to a certain extent. So
it is?
It is to... Let me tell you why I say that. It's because you might not have intimacy when you first ignite faith. God says that everybody has faith inside of them, including mm-hmm. to the size of the mustard seed. So what intimacy brings is the size of your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get? Because you can... God, and I mean, well, you can accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, but not known that dimension of who he is, for whatever it is. You might only know him to provide for your food,
mm-hmm.
but you might not realize that God cares about this headache that I'm having. God cares about this pimple. God cares about this guy that I like. You know, you are only accessing him from one point. So can you see that you have faith, but you don't have intimacy, because you still believe he's God, but you are only practicing one dimension of him, because that's all you know.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have a better understanding of who God is, and the number one way is how we treat each other. It is the first knowledge that some people know about God. You get into a church, they start with their religious nonsense, they start with their judgments. That is now what you think God is like. So it's not your fault that your faith is only here, because that's all you can see. That's what you've genuinely experienced. Do you get what I'm saying? So I'm not saying that, you know, you don't need the two. Intimacy is the catalyst for growth. Relationship is the catalyst for growth. But I believe that I've always believed in God, but I don't believe that I walked in faith for a long time. And even when I started activating my faith, I only believe that I'm truly accessing intimacy. I feel like I'm now transferring from like that Facebook, Instagram friendship with God to that real. Or we don't post, you know, those your real friends, they're not always posting. Not always putting it out there. So yeah, I definitely believe that you can have faith without intimacy, because I believe that you have to start a relationship somewhere. The same way when you meet a guy, it might not be intimate immediately, but there's still a relationship, there's a group there. The problem is when you limit who God can be for you. And I believe that that is where that lack of intimacy, and that's where the stunted growth and faith comes in. And also, it's intimacy that teaches you how to work your faith. So let me give you an example. I've been selling things all this time, and I'm like, God, maybe this product didn't work. Maybe I need to do this. I need to do this. And there was one day I was in the middle of a photo shoot, you know, modeling one of my dresses, and God straight up told me, Sharon, this is the first time you've ever marketed anything properly in your life. This is the first time you've actually done a proper marketing campaign and flogged the product. By the time I now went and looked at all my products, true, I have not even done it properly. So I had faith for my business. But because I didn't have intimacy, I didn't get clear instructions on what to do. I was there believing in faith that God was just going to do it. Because can I tell you something? God is not a magician. A magician, he's a God of process, he's a God of order, he's a God of planning, he's a God of small. He's a God of do things because you have conviction. And all these things are important in building yourself somewhere, because if someone gives you a prophecy and says, Sharon, you know, I've had prophecies, you're going to be a titan of industry, you're going to be this. If I don't educate myself on kingdom financing, I will never be worthy of that call. So some people's faith can be discouraged because they are not taught it properly.
Yeah.
So God is showing me, yes, Sharon, this business is going to do well, but guess what? You need to put processes in place. You need to take more pictures. You need to advertise the product in a different way. You need to talk about it. You need to let people see this it this way, see it that way. You need to record. And that now changed my whole strategy. Wow. So guess what? I don't have the money, but I have the faith, I have the assurance from God, and I'm working with what I have. Judges 6:14, God told Gideon, go with the strength that you have. Start with what you have. And as you keep on going, you move. So guess what? The reason multiple's faith is there is because they've not worked it. They've talked about it, they prayed. No business plan. No strategy on how to be saving money for this thing. No sample of what I'm doing. No anything. But God is just supposed to just come and just open up like that.
Like a magician.
God needs bodies on earth. Why did God not knock the apple out of Eve's hand? Because we have dominion. Do you understand? It is up to us. It is our decision to do it God's way or to do it our way. But we can only know what is God's way here.
That was going to be another question I had for you. Should the Christian life be completely in the scriptures?
Say it again.
Should the Christian life be completely spent in the scriptures? Or we can what do like that?
You mean this foundation?
The foundation in our day-to-day life. Can we live life without the Bible?
No, you cannot live life without the Bible. Okay. No. woman, you cannot. The Bible is, you know, some people use, I have a production company and it's and a publishing company. It's called it's called Basic Instructions. And I'm using the words from the Bible, B-I-B-L-E. And Bibles, some people say Bible stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Do you understand? The Bible is the manual. If you're not reading this, because see, this is the thing. You could be on a path, you could be getting a prophecy, you could be moving in this direction. But if you're not constantly going back, you're not constantly going back. In fact, today I was reading about one king that was so good, Josiah. He was such a great king, but his death was so annoying to me. Do you understand? Because he had done well, he had done all the reforms. He's the one that followed everything to the letter of the law, more so than even Hezekiah. He was the one that really followed since the day of David. Nobody followed the letter of the law. In fact, I can even say it's better than David, because David had woman problem and children problem and all sorts of issues. Do you get? But David kept on coming back to the source. That's what made David great. His recognition. Weakness. Now, Josiah, this king, was beautiful. He did well in the eyes of the Lord until he now went and fought with one Assyrian army. And the guy said, listen, and because they were passing through his land, you know, Josiah had, well, he had fortified the cities. So even some areas like Manasseh and even some of the Syrian areas were still part of Judah. They still came to worship at Judah. And so when this Assyrian army was now walking through territory of Judah, Josiah was trying to protect, obviously, what was his. You don't let people walk through your land. And the guy was like, I'm in a rush. This is a pagan person. He said, I'm a pagan king. I'm in a rush. Your God, the Lord God Almighty, has sent me somewhere. And in the verse, it said, I think it's the end of Second Chronicles, it said that God, true, had actually sent him. But Josiah was standing his ground as per, I've been successful in Christ. God has helped me win many battles. I'm rich. I've done the reforms. I am a faithful servant to God. But you see, if Josiah had taken a few minutes, whether he thought he's going to waste time, whether he thought he had to stand his ground now, he would have first remembered the prophecy that the people behind him have caused so much sin, but I will not let it happen during your lifetime. Do you understand?
Yes.
It's an option that you could die now. So you better be careful. You cannot just assume for God. He did not ask questions. He could have gone back to his prophet. He could have prayed and asked for a sign from God, and God would have told him what to do, because the Bible says God truly told this other guy to come. Josiah decides to go to war and dies. And he was given an honorable burial, and then the downfall of Judah continues from there as prophesied. The point I'm trying to make is he was successful and he forgot to check in once. He forgot to check in. Reading your Bible is checking in. Reading your Bible is checking in, because our minds are plagued. So my point is, we can be doing the right thing with the right intention, but it's just that clarification, studying it in the Bible, that will make sure that, make sure your intention is right. So
it's right.
Make sure you're serving God. You're doing this for the right reasons. So the Bible is... So when I hear people say, and I was part of this gang, I started the WhatsApp group, that I serve God, but I don't read my Bible. I just like praise and worship. What you're telling me is, I'm experiencing a certain dimension with God, and I'm happy there. But what is, it's not complete. It's not complete. The word of God is alive. And, you know, Hebrews, Holy Spirit is making me look good today. Hebrews, I think,
I love it.
Not me, though. I've not done these things in a long time. Hebrews 12 says the word of God is alive and it's powerful.
Yes.
It is sharp. Two-edged sword. So let's break it down. The word of God is two-edged sword. So it will cut from the top, it will cut from the bottom. So what the bottom, what God is saying, no matter which angle you come from the Bible, start in the New Testament to start in the Old Testament, it will shall enter. It is sharp enough to enter whichever place you are going. It now says cutting between the soul and the spirit. And that is where I want to stop. Cutting between the soul and the spirit. It is where the Holy Spirit starts to reason with you. Jesus, he starts to convince you. Romans 12 verse 2, it says that you will start to abandon the ways of this world and you will start to live a life that is pleasing in God's sight. But that's the beauty of the relationship. You know, Romans 9:17, it says faith comes by hearing the word of God. Don't read your Bible, you are stagnating your faith. And trust me, you will read your Bible. If you don't read it regularly, I don't read my Bible every day. I read because I might still be meditating. I might, you know, I might, like a couple of times I might be having a anxiety attack and I'm just, all I can do is stay quiet with the Holy Spirit and let him just comfort me to peace so that I can get up and go to work. That's why I was even looking crazy because I had a bad thing. Do you understand? I really, really had a morning that I was struggling today to get out of bed. I was struggling. It was not, you know, and I cannot tell you that, oh, this was the problem. I have a number of things that I'm working through with the Holy Spirit. But the point I'm trying to make is by studying my word, I was encouraged by looking at the challenges these other people went through. And as soon as a king would face a challenge, the ones that were faithful would go back and cry out to God. Do the same. Do this.
Sharon, you are just amazing because having this conversation with you, it just, not only open up my mind, my heart. You know what I mean? Because right now you're just saying that you were having a hard time waking up this morning. You know, I didn't know that. And so let's just say I called you and you didn't answer, you know, and I can just be like, oh, I called Sharon, she didn't answer. I don't know what she's doing. But you were going through something. And if we could all see each other in that limelight, there'll be such a love amongst each other, it would just be incredible.
It's God's perspective. Because what you're doing essentially now is you stop making it by yourself. You are now looking at it from another person's point of view. And that, in essence, the decision that is birthed out of that, the decision that is birthed out of the greater good for the total people involved, that is what leads to successful lives. That is the success. It is not being rich. Trust me. It is the success of making the right decisions and making sure that you enjoy the process. Because you see, the need for faith is also about us enjoying the ride. Like one of the things I love about traveling is not the destination. I actually love airports. I love airplanes.
Me too.
I love the whole process. I have my travel clothes. I have my, you know, I like the process from start to finish, going back, going forward. I like all of those things. So I just realized that if I'm going to grow this business and I'm going to be consistent in what I'm doing, number one, be flexible. Understand that things are going to move around. Just because God said it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy to get it. Do you understand?
Yes.
There'll be stuff along the way. That's why, first of all, you need that faith to understand that it's God that is doing this for me. It is God that is empowering me to do it. And then you also need the faith to be like, okay, God, like for me, you know, before you called, I was in the middle of a content creation meeting. And I was just like, God, how am I going to get through today? Mm-hmm. How are we going to answer this question? Even one of my other girls is not feeling well. Mm-hmm. And what I said to her was that, you can go, but it would be really nice if you can just let us talk for like 1 hour. Do you understand? Let's get through this thing for next week. And then I want you to take 2 days off. If you're feeling strong, come. But guess what? I've put preparation in place that she might not come for the rest of this week. Because if I was sick and I have a banging headache, I don't need like a me. I'm a tough person to work with. I need you when you are in your good spirit and all that. So that leads to another thing. Mm-hmm. God, help me to build departments so I'm not just dependent on one person.
Yeah.
So that way, I don't have to put pressure on her. Mm-hmm. I don't have to mean because I'm not meeting the deadline. God has shown me how to take that pressure off of people, mm-hmm. because it creates a better work environment. You know, so we don't reach the deadline at the time we want, but we are putting processes in place so that when we put the next deadline, maybe we need to be more realistic about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe for this project, we need to hire more people. Can you see how trusting in God,
mm-hmm.
and giving him control over your day, your life, your mind? Like even when I was getting on this call, my manager was calling me and she was saying, but I told you, and I said, sis, I know you told me, I'm really sorry. Let me get online then. Do you get what I'm saying? Let me go mm-hmm. I'll call her and debrief. But because I spent that time this morning with God,
mm-hmm.
he checked my personality. He did not allow me to lose my temper. He didn't let me say, oh, this is how you want to look, so you can't go on. I think people don't understand that faith, just like grace, is multidimensional.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that you exercise your faith, the bigger you will be able to make, you know, decisions out of faith too.